Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A tremendous Thursday to you. It is April the 28th. So glad to be with you. Going to give you some other numbers to call in right now. The phone number, the toll-free line for the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Where else? This isn't a Nescafe commercial, but where else can you find the show? This is the only place. 888-914-9149. Neither am I George Clooney, believe me. But you can also email the show at Cale. I forgot the first part. Cale at relevantradio.com, C-A-L-E at relevantradio.com. And you can follow me on Twitter also at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show account is at Cale Clark Show. We have a great show lined up for you today. I can't wait. Later in the program, I'll be joined by the CEO of Relevant Radio, Father Rocky Hoffman himself. We're going to have a great chat about the Walk to Mary, some other stuff. You're not going to want to miss that. But it's a big Marian day. Speaking of Mary, today is the feast day of a fantastic Marian saint, St. Louis Marie de Montfort. And he's a great one because there are a lot of... one thing I appreciate about this program is that there are a lot of non-Catholic listeners listening, a lot of Protestant Christians, evangelicals, and people from all kinds of different Protestant denominations listening, people of no faith. We have Orthodox Christians listening, agnostics, atheists, you name it. And I appreciate each one of you, and I appreciate the questions that you bring and the fact that you're interested in hanging out with me. And I'm so glad about that. And so I want to ask if there are any Protestants who are listening today who are maybe thinking about Catholicism, maybe toying with the idea that the Catholic Church might be the church that Jesus established and he wants everybody to join, but they've got a bit of a hang-up, and that hang-up has a name. It's Mary. And they're finding Mary maybe a little contrary. They don't trust it. They think that somehow maybe Mary is a barrier to true devotion to Christ. So if you're in that boat, if you're having those thoughts, why don't you call in right now, 888-914-9149, or maybe you used to be a Protestant, now you're a Catholic, you've come into the church, and you've been through that. Maybe that was one of your struggles. What would you say to somebody who's struggling with it? 888-914-9149. I would say in general, just from my own experience, and I'm someone who's a revert to the faith, I was a Sino growing up, Catholic in name only, wasn't really well catechized, and I left the church. I became an agnostic, left the church really in high school for the most part. I became an agnostic in university, came back to faith through Protestant campus missionaries, Baptist campus missionaries. Of course, they told me, you got to get out of the Catholic Church. I did. I became a Protestant minister, came back into the Catholic Church. It's a long story, and I've talked about it before, but Marian teachings are obviously a huge stumbling block for most people when they're coming into the church or maybe coming back into the church. And so really what we want to ask is the question, can any focus on Mary, can any devotion to Mary detract from your commitment to Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, God the Son? It's a very reasonable question. And by the way, if you've struggled with this or if you are struggling with this, you're in really, really good company, saintly company, St. John Paul the Great, Pope John Paul II. A lot of people don't know this. Long before he ever became Pope, he was in the underground seminary in Poland during World War II. It was a very dangerous situation. The Nazis were occupying Poland, and he's working in this rock quarry. I mean, he's busting rocks during the day, he's studying at night. Priests are being carried away by the Gestapo. You're on the edge of the knife at every moment. And he was asking this question himself. JP2 was. It's really important to understand that spiritual giants have looked at this question and come out on the other side. And so I want to share with you how today's saint, St. Louis de Montfort, really helped him. It was while And of course, before he became Pope John Paul II, he was known as Karol Wojtyła. That's his baptismal name. And he, of course, later became a priest, a bishop, a cardinal, and eventually pope. But it was when he was in the underground seminary in Poland that he found this book, True Devotion to Mary, which is really the great spiritual classic of St. Louis Marie de Montfort. And Karol Wojtyła, up to that point, he had had a pretty good devotion to Mary, starting when he was a small child. But it was when he got into the seminary, he started studying some heavy stuff. He thought, well, maybe I should take a step back from this. Maybe I should distance myself from this just a little bit. And his fear was the fear of a lot of people, that any kind of devotion to Mary would take away from the true adoration due to Christ. And obviously, that word adoration is a very important word to unpack, because adoration is worship. We do not worship Mary. And a lot of that's a caricature of Catholicism that's out there, very much along the lines of what Archbishop Fulton Sheen used to say, that there are not more than 100 people in the United States who hate the Catholic Church, but there are millions of people who hate what they wrongly perceive to be the Catholic Church. What they're really upset about are caricatures of Catholic teaching, and a great caricature of Catholicism is that Catholics worship Mary. Now, in some parts of the world, devotion to Mary, and really it's an excess of love, can sometimes appear to outsiders as if it is worship. It's not. If it is, it's breaking the first commandment. We Catholics know the commandments. The first commandment, you can only worship the one true and living God. Anything else is idolatry. That's a serious concern. We need to be concerned about that. And so adoration, worship, is only due to Christ. So with Mary, it's something different. It's honor. There's actually a special Latin word for it. It's kind of a $5 Latin word, hyperdulia. Now, latria is worship in Latin, but dulia is honor. Hyperdulia is extreme honor. That's what we render to Mary because of her unique role in salvation history. And so these are some of the things that Karol Wojtyła, later Pope John Paul II, was discovering in seminary, in the underground seminary in Poland. And here's what he wrote. And by the way, he wrote this in 2004. This is shortly before he passed away. He said, thanks to St. Louis Marie Grignion de Montfort. That's his full name, but we just call him St. Louis de Montfort. He said, I understood that authentic devotion to the Mother of God is truly Christocentric. That is, it's truly Christ-centered. And he said, reading True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort marked a turning point in my life. I say a turning point, although it is a long inner journey that coincided with my clandestine preparation for the priesthood. Pope John Paul II said, I realized something fundamental. It happened that the devotion of my childhood and even my adolescence to the Mother of Christ gave way to a new attitude, a devotion coming from the depths of my faith, as from the very heart of the Trinitarian and Christological reality. End of quote. Okay, so there's a lot to unpack there. But one of the things that he says that's absolutely crucial is that devotion, true devotion, authentic devotion, and this is really, don't forget, this is what the book is called, True Devotion to Mary. And that's the key here. We need to get a true, authentic, biblical, Catholic devotion to Mary going. St. John Paul II said, authentic devotion to the Mother of God is Christocentric. It's actually centered on Jesus Christ and helps us to be drawn toward him. And so he said it was a turning point in his life. The devotion of his childhood, he said, and his adolescence gave way to something new. In other words, he was able to break through to another level. I think this is a crucial point, because our relationship with Mary, as well as our relationship with our Lord Jesus, it has to change. It has to mature. Now, he never changes. As Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever as God. He never changes. We change. Sometimes for the worse, sometimes for the better. But we have to change for the better in this regard. We've got to break through to this new level in our relationship with him. So our relationship with Jesus needs to change and mature as we mature. And the same is true of our relationship with our Blessed Mother. And this is one of the big problems in our age, in our time, with the church in general, especially in the West, is that a lot of people remain stuck at a seventh grade level when it comes to their faith. The religious education, their formal religious education, very often stops when they're confirmed. And this is, in effect, looked at as their graduation ceremony from Catholicism. But it's not. This is only the beginning. When you're confirmed, you become a soldier for Christ. It's when you take up your mission for Christ. It's kind of like a turbo boost, a supercharge from the Holy Spirit to enable you to fulfill your unique call. Because all of us, because of our baptism, we're not only called to be saints, but we're called to help other people to get there too, to become a saint and to help other people to become saints. That's the bottom line. That's what we're called to through our baptism. But every person has a different path and every person has a different journey to get to that point. The question is, how are you going to do it? Well, your confirmation is part of the answer. But a lot of people, they go on from this age, seventh grade, let's say, and they continue to be educated on different subjects. Obviously, they remain in school for the most part. Whether they go on to further study, university, they pick up a trade, whatever the case may be, they become an expert in their chosen field. When you become a professional, whether you're a banker, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a police officer, it doesn't matter. You want to become the greatest professional that you can. You continually build up your knowledge base. It's true even in our personal pursuits. Whatever our hobbies might be, we never stop learning because we always want to learn about things that we love. It has to be that way with our faith because if we really love Jesus, we want to know him more. We should want to know him more. And the same is true of Our Lady. So our understanding of our faith has to grow along with our age and experience so that we have the tools that we need to deal with the complexities of life and all the issues on which our faith has to bear. And that's part of why we do what we do here at Relevant Radio, because education is really key to our mission of bringing Christ to the world through the media. So this is absolutely crucial in the life of St. John Paul II as well. And I think this is really a great inspiration for everybody who's on the journey, maybe into the church, to say, wow, if this guy struggled with this, then maybe my struggle isn't out of the ordinary at all. And why not ask JP2 to intercede for you? And this has just became the touchstone of his life. And his papal motto, which is totus tuus, totally yours. And I'm going to explain more about that later on. That actually came from this book, True Devotion to Mary, by St. Louis de Montfort. And in fact, his papal coat of arms was a very simple coat of arms, JP2, but it was simply a cross with a big letter M under the cross. And obviously that was a reference to Mary standing at the foot of the cross. And of course, his papal motto was totus tuus. Totus tuus ego sum and omnia mea tua sunt. My Latin's terrible, but hopefully I did a passable job there. That's what St. Louis de Montfort wrote in True Devotion to Mary. It's basically translated as, I am all yours, and all that I have belongs to you, O my lovable Jesus, through Mary, your holy mother. And this is again, what people often miss about Marian devotion. People think totus tuus is, I'm totally yours, Mary. But actually, if you actually read what it says, I am all yours, and all that I have belongs to you, O my lovable Jesus, through Mary, your holy mother. So again, all authentic Marian devotion, all authentic Marian devotion is Christocentric. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 888-914-9149 is the studio line to call. So here's a really beautiful Marian prayer from the consecration to Mary that was really initiated by St. Louis de Montfort. It's one of the more popular Marian prayers in the whole world. And I'm just going to read part of the prayer. If you want to pray along with me as I read it, that's fantastic. And it goes like this. I choose you today, O Mary, in the presence of the whole heavenly court for my mother and my queen. I give you and devote to you in all submission and love my body and my soul, my inner and outer goods, and the very value of my past, present, and future good deeds, leaving you an entire and full right to dispose of me and all that belongs to me without exception, according to your good pleasure, to the greatest glory of God in time and eternity. So that's a beautiful prayer, a very popular Marian prayer, popularized by St. Louis de Montfort. We're going to take a really quick break here on Relevant Radio, but if you're in that boat, if you're a non-Catholic Christian listening today and Mary is a stumbling block for you, why don't you call in? We'll get you in here. But in just a moment, I'm going to be joined by Father Rocky right after this break. So hang on for this. You're not going to want to miss this exciting conversation. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. Of education options, size fits all. Our sponsor, Colby Academy, offers the flexibility of both accredited online and traditional school at home options to fit the needs of your child. Visit relevantradio.com/Colby. That is the man in black himself, Johnny Cash. I walk the line. And speaking about walking the line, I've got another man in black joining me right now. He's the CEO of Relevant Radio, Father Rocky Hoffman. Welcome back to the program, Father.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Cale. Hey, I love Johnny Cash. What a great performer.
Yeah, who doesn't? Well, listen, I know you don't have too much time. You're a busy guy, so I want to get right to it, what you're here to talk about. I know that you are a big proponent of taking personal responsibility. But I want you to tell me about a time in your life, an idea that you had back in 2010, where you said, I've got an idea, but I'm going to take no responsibility for this. Can
That's
you talk
right.
about that?
No, I'll never forget. I was at the men's conference in Green Bay, Wisconsin, in March of 2011, just a few months earlier. Bishop Bricken had approved the apparition of Our Lady at a nearby shrine, Our Lady of Good Help. And, I'm a priest of Opus Dei in St. Jose Maria. I used to encourage people to take pilgrimages to a shrine of Our Lady in the month of May. So I said, hey, you know, we should do this. In the month of May, someone, right, not me, mm-hmm. I said, I'm not doing it, someone should organize a walking pilgrimage on a Saturday in May, and we could start at the national headquarters of Relevant Radio, go all the way up to the shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. And that fell on the hearts of Pat Deprecht and Tom Schmidt and some others, and they organized it. And they found actually a better starting place, which is the National Shrine of St. Joseph.
Nice.
At the St. Orbis College in De Pere. In the first 7 miles, they walk along the Fox River and then out on the side of the streets in the city and then out in the countryside. And this year they expect, I don't know, 3,000, 4,000 people to show up for it. And it's a variation on a theme of the faithful walking distances to holy places. So in the Old Testament, you know the Bible a lot better than I do, but you've got Abraham journeying to Mount Moriah, right? Which is a holy place where he offered his son a sacrifice. And then when our Lord was born, you had Magi, three kings from the East, and they may have traveled for 2 years to find our Lord. And then during the life of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, every year they would journey by foot, because there really wasn't anything else back then, down from Bethlehem, from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And that was probably a one-week travel down there. And then the Middle Ages, Christians went to holy places like Santiago de Compostela or Rome or the Holy Land. And then our Holy Father, Pope St. John Paul, would do pilgrimage all over the world. So I'd invite your listeners tonight, consider doing that by themselves or with a few people or their whole family or a big group. Sometime in the month of May, go to a shrine of Our Lady and pray a rosary on the way there, a rosary on the way back for your intentions. And if you can join us for the Walk to Mary, this will be the 9th annual that takes place up near Green Bay, go to walktomary.com. How about that?
It's a great idea. and talk about also, now you mentioned the Camino. a lot of people who maybe aren't in great physical health and you know, walking 21 miles, that's how long the Walk to Mary is something that you have to, it's about the farthest you can go without going in any kind of training program beforehand. But
that's right.
You don't have to walk the whole way, do you? But you can join part of the way if you're able, right?
That's right. So you can walk, and it's all explained on the website. You can do the 21 miles, or you can do 14, or you can do 7, or you can do 2. So 2 miles are for young families, little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they get in the swing of things, and it's very well organized. And there's food and water, you know, every couple of miles along the way. There are emergency medical personnel on call in case we need anything. There's a bus in the back picking up people who say they can't walk any farther. But I think for most people in general good shape, unless you've got a medical condition, you can do it because you're not, you know, you can't run a marathon, but you could walk the 21 miles. You know, you're on your feet from 7 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. Then we have a beautiful mass with Bishop Ricken. And I ask our listeners to consider praying for good weather that day because that does make a difference. You don't want it too hot. You don't want it too cold. You don't want any rain. And you want the wind at your back.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm told that Saint Barbara is the saint to pray for good weather to. And I've used her for golf,
right?
But it always rains. I don't know what happened, but maybe I'm not.
I didn't know that because she's depicted in Raphael's famous painting, the Sistine Madonna. Why St. Barbara for good weather?
I don't know. I was told this by a priest, but like I said, maybe she's not. Maybe he was wrong, because every time I pray for a lack of rain when I go golfing, it always just deluges, but I don't know.
I bet that priest conned you. I bet she's the patron saint of rain. I bet he teased you.
Yeah, maybe he hates golf. I don't know. But talk to me a little bit about the practicality of this. If you get blisters, what should you do? I know you've got some techniques and tips.
Well, it all depends who you ask when you say if you get blisters. If you ask my mother, she'd say offer them up.
Yeah, just bleed it out.
The first year I got them, but I had to muscle through because I'm from Chicago. I'm a Bears fan, and I was in Green Bay, which is Packers territory. It would be absolutely humiliating to give up. So I had to kind of muscle through. But the way you avoid blisters is read the directions on the website. So I change my socks every 7 miles, and I put a little mole skin on the bottom of my heels and my big toe. And you drink water along the way, maybe take an Advil if you get a little bit sore. But I've been able to do it a lot, and people older than me have been able to do it. And but each one kind of, you know, you got to know yourself, right?
Yeah.
I just find it exhilarating to be an outdoor in the fresh air all day long, meeting new people, seeing the countryside go by you very slowly, seeing people, seeing houses, people put things outside our houses to encourage us, seeing the cows, now and then the dog, the birds, the wild turkeys, you know, the river, the wind, you know, and no cell phone or email or phone calls all day long. It's absolutely a wonderful way to kind of unplug. You know, you're doing a holy thing. It's a full body, soul, mind, and heart experience.
I love it. And if people go on the Walk to Mary, and again, you can go to walktomary.com for more information, you might just run into some relevant radio personalities, Father, and maybe some others. And Father, I was recently with you in Chicago, and Patrick Madrid was there, Timory, Josh Raymond, Mike Kendall, who's a VP there. We all had lunch together. It was really nice. And somebody snapped a picture of us. And I was kind of standing sideways, Father, so my belly was kind of hanging out a little bit. I looked like I was in my third trimester.
Somebody commented about that about me.
I was just going to say,
wow, Father, I think it was a bad angle.
I think it was too. I think there's a distorted lens maybe. But somebody said, yeah, all these relevant radio hosts need to lose some weight. But you know what? That's definitely true in my case. I should go on the Walk to Mary, at least, you know, join it from here virtually in spirit. And people can certainly do that. And you can find out more information at walktomary.com. Well, Father, I know you got to get out. I know you got a lot of things to do. But, hey, keep training, keep praying, and continue to pray for this show, for me. And
so this is what I'm going to do, Cale. During the Walk to Mary, we'll tell people next week, when they call in for Pledge Drive next week and leave their prayer intention, I'm going to take all those prayer intentions in my backpack to the Walk to Mary.
Nice, I love it.
That's what I'm going to do. That will be my incentive, all right? So, hey, thanks. You do a great job. Love listening to your show. Here in the Chicago area, you're on at prime time during the rush hour. You're on three big towers here, 950, 930, 1270. Out in L.A., you're on 930 a.m. KHJ, which has been on air now 100 years.
Wow.
It hasn't been Relum Radio 100 years, but it's been on air, 100 years. KHJ, Kindness, Happy, and Joy down in San Diego, KCEO, and on about 200 stations around the country. So keep up the good work you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much, Father. God bless you. And we're praying for you as you pray for others on the walk to Mary. That was Father Rocky Hoffman, the CEO of Relevant Radio here on the Cale Clark Show. And we will be right back with your phone calls, 1-888-914-9149. We'll be right back after this really short break. The Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio's line, is hiring today. Several positions are available throughout the United States. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with Catholic Order of Foresters, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's the Cale Clark Show. We have a license to thrill. You can call in right now, 888. License to be cheesy as well. 888. They might pull my license for that sort of stuff. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. I was just joined by the CEO of Relevant Radio, Father Rocky Hoffman, talking about the Walk from Mary that's coming up next Saturday, May the 7th. If you can get to Wisconsin, you can participate live. You can even find Father. He'll be carrying a backpack full of your prayer intentions. And don't forget, speaking of Mary, you can also sign up for our incredible, it's kind of a Marian year here at Relevant Radio. We have an amazing program called Miracles, Mysteries, and Mary. It's a celebration of Our Lady all throughout the year, some of the great feast days. You can go to relevantradio.com or sign up through the app. And there's a great article by Colleen Sheena on today's saint, St. Louis Marie de Montfort, and how he shows us true devotion to Mary. So you can sign up today for Miracles, Mysteries, and Mary. All right, we're going to go to the phones right now. Vince is calling from Scottsdale, Arizona. Hi, Vince.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you for
taking my call.
You're welcome, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a question about the Hail Holy Queen. I am very devoted to Mother Mary. I say the rosary very often. And there's certain language in that prayer where we refer to Mother Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. And I imagine Mother Mary before me. And if I said that, I think she'd be very offended. She would say, please don't say that. That should be said for my son. And I really, and I know this prayer has been accepted for years and years and years, and be given the imprimatur and nihil obstat, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And I just think that it really offends Mother Mary that we say this prayer over and over again. And it, of course, it'll be justified because this is part of our Catholic culture. I also think it goes against 1 Corinthians chapter 9 with regard to being all things for all men to Christ. I think it scandalizes other Christians, and I think it actually scandalizes Mother Mary. I do not think she appreciates that wording at all. And I just have to speak out about this because I think it really offends her. Imagine when you say the rosary, if you had Mother Mary in front of you and you said that, imagine her reaction. She would be deeply, deeply offended and said, she's a humble, loving mother. And she would say, please do not say that. That type of language belongs to my son, period.
Okay, well, Vince, that's a strong take. That's Vince in Scottsdale, Arizona. Thank you for calling in, Vince. And I think I know where you're coming from with this. So Vince was basically saying that he thinks that some of the language in the prayer, Hail Holy Queen, would actually be offensive to Our Lady. when we call her our life, our sweetness, and our hope. And one of the things that Vince said is that those terms should really only be applied to her divine son. Isn't Jesus our life? Isn't he our sweetness? Isn't he our hope? And I can understand why people say that. And I can definitely understand why non-Catholics might look at some of this language and say, man, this really doesn't make sense. And this is part of, again, where St. Louis de Montfort comes in with this concept that true devotion to Mary is always Christocentric. And yeah, whether or not the prayer has gotten an official Neil Obstadt, and that's sort of a declaration. You might see this in books and pamphlets that everything in here is not contrary to Catholic doctrine. By the way, sidebar, funny story. I don't know if it's funny or not. I thought it was funny. I once knew a guy who wrote under the pen name Neil Obstadt. N-E-I-L. Anyways. Okay, but back to the serious matter at hand. How can we call Mary our life, our sweetness, and our hope? Well, I think part of it is the way that we look at it. Obviously, Christ is our hope, but Mary is the perfection of the human person. So obviously, Christ is one divine person with two natures. He took on that human nature from the womb of the Virgin in order to redeem us, in order to become incarnate. But with Mary, we have here, this is what God can do with the human person. And she is the model for us in so many ways. And so when we call her our hope in this sense, this is the hope of what we want to happen to us if we are faithful to God as she was. At the Annunciation, she said, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word." She did the will of God. As St. Augustine said, there's that line in the Gospel in Mark chapter 3 where, you know, Jesus' mother and some of his other relatives and friends are outside. They're trying to, he's in the house, he's teaching, he's surrounded by a big crowd. And somebody says, "Hey, Jesus, your mother and your relatives are outside." And he said, "Well, who are my mother? You know, who are my brothers? You know, anyone who does the will of God is my mother, my sister, my brother." That's not a diss of Mary by any stretch of the imagination. St. Augustine said that Mary conceived Christ in her heart by being willing to do his will before she ever conceived him in her womb by the power of the Spirit. And so she was willing to do the will of God. And so being completely at his disposal, look at what God did with her life. She became the greatest of all saints. Greater than you? No one but God. That's what St. Jose Maria said. Even the angels can't even fathom what she was able to do. She was able to have the living God living within her and not be destroyed. She's like the burning bush in that sense. Theologians called her very similar to the burning bush that Moses saw. It was on fire, yet it was not destroyed. The very presence of God living within her, and yet she was not consumed. Of course, at the end of her life, she's taken up into the glories of heaven. She's assumed body and soul. This is what we want to happen with us as well. At the resurrection, at the end of time, our bodies will be raised from the sleep of death, and we too will live with Christ in this new heaven, this new earth. I don't know exactly what that's going to be like, but please God, let's all get there together. And so in that sense, that is the sweetness, what Christ is able to do in her, and the hope of what he can do in us as well, if we do what she did, if we're as docile as she was. And so those are all really, really good concerns that you have, Vince, because obviously your desire is to please God. You don't want to offend God in any way. And this is part of why we wanted to talk about this today, that again, an authentic devotion to Mary, far from offending God, we actually can't have a proper devotion to Christ without it. And so these are part of the things that Pope John Paul II himself discovered as a young seminarian, as Karol Wojtyła, in Poland in the underground seminary. He discovers this book, True Devotion to Mary. And I want to just go through some of the things that are in that book that we really need to know. You're listening to the K.O. Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. One of the things that people miss sometimes with True Devotion to Mary is that not all of the translations of that book have the Christological devotion in it. There's a Christological part of the book called The Love of Eternal Wisdom, and unfortunately it didn't make it into all the translations of that book. But this chapter of the book, The Love of Eternal Wisdom, is the most important part of this true devotion to Mary. In fact, it's the core of it. So here's what it's all about. The eternal wisdom is none other than Jesus Christ. He's the wisdom of God incarnate, the wisdom of God personified. So when we find it in Christ, we find in Jesus this God-man who wants to give himself to all of us. And he wants it so badly. And this reminds me of what Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke before he celebrates the Last Supper. He says, "With desire I have desired to celebrate this Passover with you." His desire is to be with us to the point that he makes himself a prisoner in the tabernacle, in the Eucharist, to perpetuate his presence with us until he returns. He gives us this gift so that we may always be in union with him. And so St. Louis de Montfort, in this section, The Eternal Wisdom, he talks about four things that are necessary to get union with Christ, union with eternal wisdom. This is according to St. Louis de Montfort. Number one, he says you've got to have an ardent desire. So you got to want it. If your desire is to please Christ, and Vince, who called in earlier, I know that's your desire. If your desire is to please Christ, you've got to, number one, want that. You've got to have it. This ardent desire. Number two, he says, St. Louis de Montfort says, you've got to have continuous prayer. And this reminds me of something that St. Paul said in the New Testament, pray at all times. Pray at all times. Well, we can't pray at all times unless we're praying sometimes, really specifically, especially with the rosary. I think it's so crucial. And there have been a lot of saints who have struggled with the rosary, and some of you out there might do it. Some of you out there might every night make it a habit of going to the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky and praying along with everybody here at Relevant Radio and everybody around the world listening. But it's a struggle still. And being with Father and being with everybody else does help. It helps sometimes to do it in a group. But some of the greatest saints in history, Saint Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, with such a great devotion to Our Lady, she struggled with praying the rosary. And maybe you have times in your life where you struggle with it, and sometimes it's going really well, you're in a great groove, but then there are seasons in your life where it's more difficult because of it's the repetition of the prayers, whatever it may be. It's tough to focus the mind, but it's really a devotion par excellence. And St. John Paul II always said, this is my favorite prayer outside of the Mass. The Mass is the greatest prayer of the Church, but the rosary is my number one Marian devotion. It's my favorite prayer outside of the Mass. So that's number two. So you've got to have an ardent desire, a continuous prayer, above all, the rosary being this pride of place here. The third thing that St. Louis de Montfort said was universal mortification. We talked about the walk to Mary, and Father talked about the nature of pilgrimage, the history of pilgrimage. We do have to suffer on the journey, and it's part of how we get toughened up in the spiritual life. Mortifications are all about that, denying ourselves so that we can be spiritual athletes, essentially. And then the last thing that he says is we've got to have a loving and genuine devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So again, he says you need this. If you want to have union with eternal wisdom, if you want to have true union with Jesus, you have to have ardent desire, continuous prayer, above all with the rosary, mortification. It's part of the spiritual life, not just in Lent. And the last thing, a loving and genuine devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So in other words, if you want a greater union with Jesus, you can't have it without this true devotion to Mary. You can't have it. It's not possible. It's not possible. And St. Louis de Montfort said, just as Jesus came to us through Mary, we have to go back to Jesus through Mary. It makes sense. A lot of the great saints have taught this. St. Jose Maria taught this. It is to Jesus that we always go through Mary. To him we always return through Mary. So here's some stuff from the section on Christ, the Christocentric section, this eternal wisdom section of the true devotion. St. Louis de Montfort says that, quote, Mary is like a holy magnet, attracting eternal wisdom to herself with such power that he cannot resist. Mary is the surest, the easiest, the shortest and the holiest of all the means of possessing Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for shortcuts. you know, if I was on the walk to Mary, I might take a shortcut through the woods. No, I wouldn't do that. You know, you got to play it straight up. But here's the deal. She's the spiritual shortcut to get to Jesus. So it makes sense. She is the easiest, the shortest, the holiest, the surest means of possessing Jesus Christ. So here's what he says. And by the way, here's what true Marian devotion is. If you want a little bit more specifics on it from St. Louis de Montfort, he said, okay, if you really want true Marian devotion, it's got to be sincere, free from hypocrisy, free from superstition. That's really important because unfortunately in some sectors of the church all around the world, some Marian devotion, I would grant that in some places there's a lot of superstition there. And that needs to be replaced by education, by information. So it's got to be free from superstition. It has to be loving, he says, not lukewarm or scrupulous. Okay, so scrupulosity, extreme scrupulosity. Oh, man. There are a lot of people who struggle with this, including yours truly. I've struggled with scrupulosity in my life. We have to have more trust. Louis de Montfort says our devotion to Mary has to be more constant. It has to be not fickle or unfaithful. You've got to do it every day. You've got to do a little every day. He says it's holy without being presumptuous or extravagant. So it's real. He says we've got to offer everything we've acquired in the past, everything we possess in the moment, and everything we're going to acquire in the future. In other words, everything. And that's what that consecration prayer was all about, which I read to you earlier in the first part of the show. So that's true devotion to Mary. We need this in order to have a greater union, the more perfect union with Jesus Christ. And here's another thing too, and I heard this morning at Mass. The priest at my local parish said this in his homily. This is another quote from True Devotion to Mary. He says, this is de Montfort speaking, he said, just as Jesus Christ surrendered himself as a loving slave to the Blessed Virgin Mary. What does he mean by that? Jesus became a slave to Mary. He says he was obedient to her for 30 years. So should all Christians consider their lives in total dependence on Mary. So that's a mind-bending thing to think about, how entwined the two of their lives were, Jesus and Mary. That Jesus willingly subjected himself to her and St. Joseph's leadership as well, of course, in the home in Nazareth. He was obedient to her for 30 years. So he depended on her. He depended on her for sustenance, for life, for food, for clothing, for care, for that hug that he needed. You know, babies need hugs. If you leave a baby alone without the human touch, they will die. They will die. And so just as he was subject to her and became dependent on her, we kind of have to do that as well. In imitation of Christ, we have to depend on Mary's spiritual maternity, on her motherhood. And this is part of what happens at the foot of the cross when Jesus says to John, the beloved disciple, son, here is your mother, talking to Mary. Woman, here is your son. This is where it actually happens. She becomes our mother too. So we have to have this. This is the will of Jesus. He said it on the cross. So who are we to say no to that? Who are we to say no to that? So Martin Luther, of course, who was the original Protestant who broke away from the Catholic Church in 1517, he would say that, you know, he had, at least in the beginning, after he left the church, he still retained a lot of Marian doctrine himself, Luther. And you'd be surprised some of the things that Luther said about Mary. But he eventually got to the point where he thought that Marian devotion was idolatry. But that's not the case. And this is what de Montfort really wanted to bring forth, that a true Catholic understanding and a true devotion to Mary basically tells us that the more we are devoted to her, the more we love her, the more we can actually glorify God. The more, it's not idolatry at all. It actually causes us to worship God even more. Why? Because she's God's masterpiece. Because as she says in the Magnificat, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. God did this for her. Who she is because of God. This is God's will. And it's also his will that she's our mother. Anyways, I'm kind of on a rant here. So I need to stop here. I'm preaching. So let's. I want to hear what you guys have to say. Let's go now to Jeff in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. So as you were kind of talking, and I was kind of came upon a thought that I never really thought of before, and that was, but while we know Jesus was conceived divinely in Mary's womb, mm-hmm. do we know, or is there much thought or talk about, was it Mary's egg that was really part of the conception?
Oh, I've never thought of that before. Well, I suppose it would be. He got 100% of his human nature from her. So all his DNA from a human level comes from her. He has no human father. So as theologians have said, you know, the Word became flesh. We know this from the Gospel of John. She gave the Word flesh. You know, the flesh that he used to redeem us, the human nature in which he hung on the cross came, you know, that's how he got it. And so she's involved. She's involved in the redemption. Whether the church will ever, Jeff, you know, whether the official doctrine will ever be an official Marian dogma might be that she is co-mediatrix. A lot of people don't think that's a great idea. I don't know if the church will ever rule on that. But we're all kind of co-redeemers with Christ. He willed it to be that way. She participated in the incarnation. She participated in the salvation of the world through her fiat, through her yes, through her involvement in the life of her son, giving him flesh, helping with his formation, obviously, at a human level, interceding for the church along with the apostles as the church is born at Pentecost. She's involved. She's involved, and we all have to be involved as well. Christ doesn't need us to do the work of evangelization, but that's the way he wanted it to be. So we also, he's depending on us, just as he depended on Mary to help him as an infant. We also have a role to play, and he's depending on us to do our part too in the new evangelization. So we all help people to get to Christ. We all help him in his mission of redemption as the mystical body of Christ. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. We're going to go now to Charles, who's calling from Altaloma, California. Hi, Charles.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I had a question. Yesterday, my daughter was about to go into have an operation, and I wanted to leave my rosary laying on the bed, but I didn't know. I was wondering, or I was thinking that might have been a kind of a superstitious act, so I didn't. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, I hope your daughter is okay. How did the surgery go? Did it? I'm not sure what the issue was, but
everything went well.
Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. I'm happy to hear that. And yeah, I guess it's a little bit like. Sometimes you see people, it's not just sometimes, you see this a lot. Sometimes people drive around with rosaries hanging on their rearview mirror in cars. And whenever I see that, I always say, I wonder if anybody the driver actually prays that rosary, right? If the intent is to kind of say, well, this is a talisman of sorts and I can just kind of hang this here and everything's going to be okay. I think it all depends on your intent, your motive, what your thinking is. If you're hanging a rosary on the bedpost of a sick person or on the rearview mirror of a car for thinking that, oh, if I just do this, it's an automatic whatever. I think that might be a bit of a misunderstanding. But if you're doing it saying, hey, this is a means of prayer, it's a sign, just like carrying around. Some people have the habit of carrying maybe not a full rosary, but a small cross in their pocket, a crucifix. I have one too, and sometimes I put it on my desk. I've got it right in front of me when I'm doing my work, just to remind me to use my desk as an altar of sorts and offer my work to God for the glory of God, this show for the glory of God. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to you be the glory. And so the same thing I think is true with things like actual physical rosaries. if there's prayer attached to it, then I think that you're in good shape there, and you're not doing it sort of thinking it's magic or something like that. No. We pray to God. We say, "Thy will be done. Be done unto me according to Thy word." In sickness and in health, just as Mary did. Well, we've run out of time. Wow, these hours fly by so fast here on the Cale Clark Show. But don't forget, I'll be back tomorrow at the same time. We'll join you then. So if you are on the line, I'm sorry we didn't get to you, but please, you can call back tomorrow, or you can maybe tweet at me if you want to tweet your question at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. You can follow me there or email the show, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. And yeah, we're all part of God's team here. And speaking of teams, I'm going to be watching the NFL draft tonight. I'll be flicking back and forth. Can you give me the chime, Jim? I love it. The pick is in. You've been picked by your baptism for God's team. So say to yourself, totus tuus. I'm giving myself completely to you. I'm going to leave it all on the field of life. Do it for your glory, Lord, through Mary. All right. That's it for the Cale Clark Show. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.